on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, November 10th, 2025 edition of Invest Talk. And yeah, Thanksgiving is a little more than 2 weeks away, and the stock market is up and down, and looks like we're headed for a government reopening market like that. And we'll dig into that story here in a little bit. But I'm Justin Klein, and my objective each and every weekday is to help you become a better investor. And we do that by, number one, answering your finance and investment questions. So whatever's on your mind, don't hesitate to reach out. As always, it's 888-99-CHART. That is the number. We also bring you data and perspective and topics that we think are important. But most of all, this show is about you and what's on your mind. So with that said, we'll talk about today's market performance here in a little bit and run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle our first live call. And it's Jarek from Canada. Once again, wants to talk about fundamental analysis.
Hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I called last Thursday about ETF Volt, and you said that some of the holdings were good and some were bad. Mm-hmm. So my question is how do you pick apart the good and the bad when you're doing that? And like, what's your order of operations for doing fundamental analysis if I'm trying to dig into some of these holdings?
Sure. It's a great question, especially in an ETF that's kind of faddish like this, where there are a lot of, they're all doing well because they have a lot of tailwinds from what's happening in the broader markets or broader economy. So right now things are going well, but I look more about, okay, what's the long-term profitability of this business? What happens if, you know, there's a natural slowing of demand for AI data infrastructure? Was their business going to go back to losing money like it had been, you know, years in the past? That's a big question. Then I also want to look at its balance sheet. Does it have a solid balance sheet or does it have a ton of debt that needs to work through? That's a big question for me. And then obviously the trajectory of its earnings estimates from their analysts. Are they accelerating? Are they decelerating? What is next year and going forward look like? So those are some of the things that I'm looking at. But there's also a lot of kind of sub considerations as well. So what part of the supply chain are they in? Is it something that is vital to the overall build out? Meaning, no matter what type of chips are in there, if it's still running, if that data center is still running, then there's going to be services, there's going to be maintenance that allows them to still make profits, right? So that's why I kind of like the names that are closer to the electrical power demand, because you could switch out NVIDIA chips or AMD chips or whatever, and that might ebb and flow, right? But what it looks like is the demand for these type of data centers is going to continue, at least operating, upgrading, maintaining, et cetera. And those are the type of businesses that we are looking at. Okay, what is going to be part of this supply chain over the long term, no matter what technology is in fad, right? Because AI is not going anywhere, but it will evolve. There'll be new leaders. Depending on the technology and et cetera. But what is clear and obvious is that the infrastructure to run these systems is going to be pretty consistent. And so that's why generally I like the idea of this ETF, VOLT. But you know, there's going to be some good with some bad. And you really have to parse all those things and more. You know, this is it's not just like, it's hard to summarize it in, you know, just a couple of minutes, but those are kind of the main points that I would hit when looking at the individual names.
Okay, great. Thank you for your time. Always appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now, our main focus point on today's show is about passing properties, passing the torch. And there's smart ways to leave real estate to your kids or next of kin. And this is over a quarter, about a quarter of total assets that are being passed along over the next 20 years or so is going to be in real estate. And so how to do it effectively, efficiently, et cetera. So we'll dig into that. Also, we're a little over a year since Trump's second election win in 2024, and the market had initial reaction on that news. But what does it look like a year out? I think there's some lessons to be taken here. And how much should you believe in that initial move in particular parts of the market? And how off has the market's initial reaction really been? Or right? So we'll dig into that. Also, other topics on the docket. There is a few big thinkers are starting to call into question the online ad model from Google and Meta after the increasing demand for large language models, and how will those businesses be affected by the shift to these AI LLMs. And then lastly, if we have time, we'll talk about stock-based compensation. This is underappreciated, especially in light of Elon's $1 trillion. Yes, I did say $1 trillion pay package. But it's important to understand that giving equity to employees or leaders dilutes shareholders and has an impact on you. So we're going to dig into that story because it's underappreciated by most, and how much money or value, shall we say, is transferred to workers and away from, or executives and away from the average shareholder. So we'll dig into that. We also have voice bank calls. One is on Entry Points and the other is on FFIV. And we also have some questions that came in via the comment section over in the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your Invest Talk or your investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART. Now, I think it's probably safe to say you'll be making several important investment decisions between now and year end. And before you do, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and download our 2025 Q4 Economic and Market Outlook Report. It is a free read, but you do have to download it. Moving to a break still to come. My phone lines are open waiting for you at 888-99-CHART.
The prosperous future you envision for yourself and your family will not happen without strategic planning and definitive action.
Let's go to Brian in San Mateo looking at Roku.
And I wanted your take on the technical picture.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk, but opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely, to invest strategically.
What I would do is keep saving and look for other opportunities.
But how can you decide what sectors to avoid, which stocks to buy, and what might be the best price point?
I'm new to investing, and my friend Wesley recommended your podcast a year ago.
The next decisive step on your path to financial freedom begins with a Spotify search for Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest529 account today. Go to Invest529.com to get started.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. But let's take a look at the markets today. We had a nice little bounce back on what looks to be a reopening of the government later this week, maybe early next week. And the market certainly liked that. We had some a bounce back day with the NASDAQ up over 2%, S&P up about 1.5%, Dow up a little less than 1%. And certainly the strength was in the Googles, NVIDIAs, Broadcoms, and Teslas of the world. Palantir up 8% on the day. So a lot of green in what led the market down last week certainly led the market up this week. A reflexive rally. And the positive here is we close near the highs of the day. And so we'll see if that gets some follow through to the upside. You know, the market rallied into the close on Friday. And I think that was on optimism around the government shutdown being resolved. And we got that. The question is, can this rally hold? I've talked about how liquidity is starting to ebb in this market and you're starting to see some problems in the funding markets. And I think that's bringing overall weakness. Now, you did see Bitcoin rally as well throughout the weekend. Right now, we're about 106, still not recovered enough to get me excited about the liquidity dynamics in markets. So I think if this gets back above, say, 108, 110 in that range, I'd be happier and feel more comfortable with risk assets. But as of now, I think this fairly poor rally in Bitcoin is telling us a lot about what to expect here over the coming week or so. And we'll see if this holds throughout the week. What will be important is how this week closes, not how this week ends. Or sorry, begins, excuse me. So that was the market today. You had treasuries were a bit weaker. We do have Veterans Day tomorrow. Thank you for all those that served. And that means the bond market is closed, but we did see yields up about 3 basis points at the short end. So a little bit less likely that the Fed will cut rates due to a government shutdown. We're going to get some economic data here between now and the Fed meeting. We'll see how much we get. Still kind of unsure when it comes to jobs data as well as inflation data. So we might get a deluge of data here in the next couple of weeks. Dollar index was flat. Gold up 2.8%. Really, commodities held the most strength today, which is interesting. Gold back above $4,100 an ounce. Bitcoin up 2.2, like I said, after falling 8% last week. So yeah, nice little bounce, but still not really a great bounce considering last week's loss. WTI crude was up 0.6% after losing 2% last week. And that was six out of 8 weeks of decline for oil. So that was the market today. Once again, not a whole lot of economic news because we are still in the midst of a government shutdown. And we'll probably get a lot more data here in the coming weeks. Let's tackle another YouTube comment question. And Witness says, this video is the most valuable media I consume every week. That's what he said. This is in regards to my Saturday morning video on YouTube. If you ever want to check that out, I kind of go over the markets and you know what it's telling me about the short and medium and long-term trends of different asset classes, different sectors, etc. So he goes on to say, I can't believe it doesn't get more views. It's true. Don't get a ton of views, but hey, I do it for those that tune in. Now, can I get your thoughts on Mueller Industries, MLI? I know there's possibly some data center and commodity risk here, but other than that, what's not to like? Well, you know, this is MLI, which is Mueller Industries, and this is in kind of the data center adjacent space. And what do? They manufacture copper, brass, aluminum, plastic products. piping systems, industrial metals, and climate. So this is all about supporting HVAC systems, running plastic tubing for wires, things like that. And so their business has boomed. Back in 2019, pre-pandemic, they only made 90 cents per share, then $4.13 by 2021, and then $5.31 last year. Earnings are expected to go up to $7.10 this year, and then once again to $7.70 next year. So good profitability, 26% return on equity. They have no debt really on their balance sheet. That's great. And what are they doing with their $676 million in free cash flow? Well, they're buying back shares. So I certainly like that as well. So I'm liking this. I'm liking the overall trend. As you said, though, there is risk. There's data center risk that they will have some level of slowdown in deployments, and therefore the demand for their products will slow as well. So that's a risk in all of this space. But the overall fundamentals look good, and as long as deployment remains relatively steady, this should continue higher. Now we're moving into a break, still to come, my focus point, and more answers to your questions. So I encourage you to call right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk Innovators. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero interview company leaders, founders, and visionaries. So head over to the InvestTalk YouTube channel and look for InvestTalk Innovators. Justin Klein is here now and ready to answer your finance and investment questions. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point today is about passing the property torch to the next of kin. And the biggest issue around this is that most families don't talk about it. They don't have a plan to pass their properties on to their heirs. And oftentimes, this results in disputes and can even result in a lost property. Now, the silent generation and baby boomers own about $25 trillion in real estate. This is according to the Federal Reserve. And a big chunk of the $105 trillion in total assets that we pass down between now and 2048 are in real estate. So $25 trillion of the $105 trillion. Okay, so that's about a quarter. Now, unless you figure out the details, it can come with a lot of headaches, and I've even seen it rip families apart, and sometimes even resulting in losing the property overall. So the number one message here is have that conversation and think through the various aspects of owning a property. Number one, maintenance. Who's going to take care of it? Who's responsible for painting and upgrading and all of that? Who's going to use it? If there are multiple children, is one going to live in it? How are the others compensated? Is it going to be a rental? And then who maintains that rental? Who chooses the renters? And who's the final decision maker at the end of the day? Maybe that's the executor of their trust or will. And then who's responsible for the expenses? How is that paid? Is it out of the trust? Is it a particular sibling? Those that are living in it, for example? And then what is the exit strategy, if there is one? Let's say, you know, one doesn't want to hold it anymore. How is the decision made? Does it have to be a unanimous decision to sell it? Or, I think in a lot of cases, it probably makes a lot of sense to force the children to actually sell it or just keep it a rental and split the proceeds. Those are kind of, I think, the two fairest ways usually if there are multiple siblings, but everybody's different. But you have to have this laid out. Otherwise, once again, it can really tear families apart. Now, 62% of older adults plan to leave their children real estate. 62%. That's basically almost all the homeowners. But 42% of younger Americans said they wouldn't feel financially prepared to keep or maintain it if they did receive it today. That means most people would, maybe not most, but nearly half are probably just going to sell it. Now, why do they feel unprepared? Well, 20% say it's the taxes and maintenance costs that they can't afford. 12% say it's the existing debt on the property. And 11% are worried about legal complexities of owning real estate. Maybe they're not homeowners themselves. So what are the ways to do this? What structure should you create? And the basic two are setting up a trust. We do that for clients. Or limited liability corporation, LLC. Both will protect the stakeholders from lawsuit in case maybe you rent it out and there's some sort of, you know, problem with the renters and some falls and slips or whatever that is, and you get sued, right? It stays within the trust or within the LLC. And as long as those hold up in court, well, then you don't have a lot of liability. Then there's tax advantages as well, which, you know, you can get into. But basically, that's how you want to hold those assets so that they're passed along to the next of kin in an efficient and effective manner. Now, from there, what do they do with it within those, that trust or within that LLC? That is another step, another stipulation you're going to need to lay out, not just in writing, but discussing it with them and helping under quell their concerns and let them understand why you're doing X, Y, and Z. And that can go a long way to making sure that everything going forward, once you pass, is handled in an efficient, effective manner. So there's not, you know, family strife, there's not legal issues. And, you know, who wants to make more lawyers rich? I don't think people want to do that. So just doing a little planning will go a long, long way. Now we're moving into a break. My phone lines are open, waiting for you at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I was calling about Intel, if it's worth holding on to or should I sell it?
I would like to know more about a company which I've been tracking for some time.
Curious if you think it'd be better for me to let it go and spend money elsewhere.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
Well, first off, never take one man's opinion as gospel, including my own.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
When you give a recommendation on your show for a buy-in, like an entry point to buy a stock, if I already own it, should I go ahead and be looking to sell it?
If this gets to 170 to 175 in that range, that's where I'd pick it up.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Tammy calling from Spokane, Washington. I was calling about F5, ticker symbol F5. I took a really small position in it because it had dropped, and when I look at everything, it looks fine, but it just keeps dropping. I know they had like a security breach and some other things, but otherwise it looks like a company that just continues to go up, and PE ratio is not bad, and it's exceeded earnings. I'm just wondering if there's a chance this one could turn around, or if based on what you see, it looks like it's just going to continue to fall, and it's just more of a value trap, I guess. Thank you.
All right, looking at F5, and FFIV is the symbol, and on the face of it, yeah, everything looks good. Earnings were up 20% last quarter, revenues were up 12%, but the, as you said, the data or the security breach is an issue, and it hurts the firm's brand overall. Now, they claim that it's they've contained the fallout, and it was a state-backed cyber attack. And this has happened before, but, you know, it can hurt the business in the short term. Now, usually if it's a one-off event, you know, customers kind of forget about it. And, you know, everybody deserves a mulligan from here, you know, from time to time. And, you know, this would be a good buying opportunity if that is the case. The problem is that next, their fourth quarter earnings are expected to drop 5%, revenue down 1%. And earnings overall for next year are supposed to be down 5%. So I think that's the overall issue here. Let me give you a support level, because I do think that this will find support. But right now, it is very weak. Its 52-week high is around $346 per share. And right now, let me just pull this up here. Right now, it is at 240. Okay, so it's down 30% from its 52-week high. Let me run some support levels here for you. Yeah, right around 220. That's where the big support could come in. Now, so it's 240 now, so I don't think there's a ton more downside, but certainly could be more downside between here and about 220. So, you know, I would be fairly patient on it, because I do agree that these things are typically get overblown in the short term, and their overall business long term remains intact. So I would be a hold for F5. Now that you know that whenever possible, I like to play two questions back to back. So let's do that right now.
This is Daniel in Tennessee. Really enjoy your podcast. And I had a general question for you. When you give a recommendation on your show for a buy-in, like an entry point to buy a stock, I was curious if I already own it, should I go ahead and be looking to sell it, or should I just hold on to it since I already own it? Just kind of curious for your perspective there. Thank you.
Well, it depends on your time horizon. You know, when we're looking at a company, we should look at F5, for example. She already owns it. You know, could it go down to 220? Sure. But just because I have a price target where there'd be good support doesn't mean it's actually going to get there. It just means that there, you know, when you're reading a chart or anything, like a chart in general, this is something that is more of an art than a science. It puts the odds in your favor, but like anything, you're not going to, it's not going to always be that way. Things can happen. You can have macroeconomic changes, broader market changes. Particular companies could come out with new news, and suddenly that boosts the stock or makes things even worse. You really never know. But, you know, it's based on the data that I have now, the chart patterns overall, et cetera. So, no, I wouldn't go, for example, that caller, I wouldn't go sell it just because I think it's going to go from 240 to 220 and be cute and try to get in at 220. That's why I say I would just hold it, know that there's probably some downside potential to 220, but I wouldn't be jumping ship to get cute and capture that $20. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk a little bit about the initial reaction now that we are a year past the election of President Trump 2.0. Let's look at the reaction and where we are today. Now, upon the post-election news, U.S. stocks rallied, European shares fell, fearing that Trump's tariffs would hurt those economies. You had investors betting big on tax breaks, deregulation, and protectionism, and that had small caps doing well, as well as financials and energy stocks. The dollar value rallied due to the risk of tariffs, and then treasury yields actually jumped, worrying about higher deficits and inflation. Okay, so that was the initial reaction. But a year later, where are we now? Now, U.S. stocks have done well, even though went through Liberation Day, had that big sell-off, and overall, we had a nice gain. But stocks outside the United States are actually doing better, like in Europe and elsewhere. So that initial reaction of money out of Europe and into U.S. stocks didn't turn out so well. Also the dollar. The dollar was up. Well, since then, the dollar has turned around and it had one of its worst first halves of any year in many decades. And then small caps, they're now lagging again after initially rallying. Global markets in general are up 28% this year versus U.S. equities, S&P up about 17% in the year. And emerging markets, despite what's happening with China and China trade war, some of the strongest returns in 15 years, mainly because those stocks were cheap going into this year and the initial reaction was just wrong. Now, from a sector perspective, market got some right and some wrong. The immediate reaction was deregulation would help consumer cyclicals, financials, and energy. But so far this year, what are the three leading sectors? Technology, utilities, and communication services, everything around AI. Healthcare initially lagged and has continued to do so, weighed down by a bigger regulatory burden by RFK and the new administration in the HHS. And then energy lagged. So initially rallied, but as I said, I remember saying this, is like it's counterintuitive, but the administrations that are friendly to the oil industry, usually bad for values or value creation within the energy space, because you get, yeah, deregulation, but that just means more supply, which means lower prices, which means lower profits. So it's very counterintuitive, and you know, there's been increased supply and uncertainty over demand. Now, what about bonds? Well, initially, the 10-year climbed from 3.8% at the beginning of the fourth quarter of last year to 4.5% by the end of last year. So a pretty big move in just a quarter. And by middle of January this year, it was up to 4.8%. But as of October, it dropped down to 4%. So everyone's expecting bond yields to rise, and they've dropped a little bit. What about cryptocurrencies? Cryptocurrencies initially went up, and they've rallied on the back of deregulation and tax changes. But overall, you know, it's been a winner, but it is also starting to lag. So that's an interesting take there. And then obviously Tesla rallied and sold off after the Elon and Trump fight, and now it's been bouncing back and forth. But the end story here is that, you know, politics, when you mix politics and your investing style, you usually get it wrong. For example, George W. Bush, he was a very business-friendly type of president. The overall return of U.S. equities during 2001 and 2008, negative 2.3%. Under Obama, big government, a lot of regulation, annualized return of 15%. Trump 1.0, everyone thought, you know, he wasn't very friendly to Silicon Valley. Well, tech ended up being the hottest segment of the market from 2017 through 2020. And then the Biden administration, you think friendly to renewable energy sources? Well, the best performing sector was energy from 2021 to 2024. Fossil fuel businesses thrived. So ultimately, market forces are going to explain investment returns. Yes, presidencies, administrations have impacts, but the durable impacts are usually overblown. It's usually short-term, sentiment, etc. But unless you're drastically overhauling an industry en masse, the underlying fundamentals of the industry are unlikely to change much because it's worldwide and wide-ranging. And it's very rare for a president to be able to get through policy that will have that type of impact. Now, you probably know by now that we get questions from the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel. So here's one that came in earlier. SSJ says, Justin, I look forward to this video every week. Can I get your take on some financial companies? OPF OPFI and BCS, OPFI. This is a small cap name, less than $1 billion market cap, about a little shy of 900 million. And, oh, excuse me. One says, that's weird. One says 200. I'm going with the one that I trust. $285 million market cap, excuse me. Decent amount of debt, good free cash flow. The chart is very strong. OPFI. Now, what do they do? OPFI. A tech-enabled, mission-driven specialty finance platform engaged provision of community banks to extend credit access to everyday Americans. Ah, so these are low quality customers, shall we say. So I'm going to say no, just because of what's happening to your middle income consumer, what happened with Tricolor. There's a lot of issues there. And the fact that this is not rallying, its rally has stalled. It's made a series of lower highs and lower lows. Lower highs. I think this has peaked out. I would not be buying into this. I think this is a bit overhyped. Now, it could just be consolidation, but I think that, yeah, I probably wouldn't be buying this. I think it looks cheap, but usually these type of names are overblown, especially these small market cap names. Now, Barclays BCS is a bit different of a story. This is a UK bank. And as I've said before, money is flowing overseas and into Europe. And names like Barclays are doing much better. So I rather ride the bigger, safer name in Barclays than a speculative name like OPFI. Now let's go with another listener question now.
How are you guys doing? Great show, by the way. So I had a quick question for you guys. I'm looking at a stock called The Trade Desk. Ticker symbol is TTD. Just wanted to get you guys' opinion on it and if you think this is a good company to get into and what you think would be a good price for me to buy the stock. Thanks, guys. I'll be listening on the show.
All right, looking at The Trade Desk. TTD is the symbol. This has been a hot name for a while, and that's because earnings were growing pretty rapidly. From only 27 cents in 2018 all the way to $1.66 last year. So consistent 20, 30% earnings growth over a number of years. And they're in the ad space, a self-service platform for ad buyers to purchase and manage data-driven digital advertising campaigns. And the problem now is earnings this year are supposed to be down 49% to 84 cents. No dividend. And it's still profitable, but last quarter revenue was up 19%. That sounds great, but that's a sharp deceleration from the June of second quarter of 2024 number when it was up 28%. And earnings were only up 10%. This next quarter, earnings are supposed to be down 43%. And this is in a downtrend. Relative strength is 5. So it's performing terribly. And this is in the heart of AI is taking away the demand for a lot of digital advertising verticals. So I see this drastically impacting the Trade Desk, and there's a reason that it is in a downtrend. And if you go based on this year's earnings, it's still trading at over 40 times earnings. I think this has a lot further to fall. This is the type of name that will fall 80 to 90% from its high, and its high was around $140 per share. So I think this name definitely heads into the 20s. We're at 43 now. Then I'll reassess it, kind of understand how the shift to LLMs and AI models are impacting its business. But overall, I would not be touching this name based on the fundamentals as well as the chart. Both of them look poor. Well, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here. Each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, InvestTalk. I had a question today about a stock, which I'm not going to say right, but it is Telkominic Indonesia, ticker TLK. I wanted to try to get some emerging market exposure. I tried to look up like competitors to this company in that area, and it seemed like it was kind of the main player versus like a Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile kind of maybe saturate and steal from each other market share in the United States. That's kind of what interests me. It looked like its financials seemed reasonable and growing. So I'm just curious if you would take a position in a company like this right now. Yeah, I don't have much other access to it since it's a foreign company. So if you guys could help out, that'd be great. Thanks. Bye.
All right. TLK is a symbol. This is Telkom Indonesia. And this is actually a name that we own for clients. About 6.2% dividend yield. Now, remember, they don't pay every quarter like your traditional dividend payer. They will pay typically once a year. Sometimes they'll do a special dividend, etc. So understand that when you're looking at these type of names. But the dividend is growing as well as earnings are growing. Net income about $1.7 billion. And overall, their free cash flow, $2.3 billion, is really steady, near an all-time high, and a good balance sheet. Only got $4 billion in debt on a $20 billion market cap. And return equity around 18%, which for a telecom name is very good. So we like this name. Like you said, getting foreign exposure, emerging market exposure, that can be difficult, especially in names that have some stability to them. And this is a name that was struggling all through 2022, all the way until earlier this year, at least in when it comes to the chart. But the business was steady, and cash flows are steady. So I think there's still a lot of upside. Because 2022, it peaked out at around $30 per share. Now it's at 20. So our value is closer to 30. And so we like TLK. Thanks for the call. Now, to follow up on that caller on Trade Desk, I wanted to finish off with some comments from Tim Berners-Lee. He is one of the founders of the Internet, World Wide Web. And he says that large language models will eventually replace humans in consuming the internet, and it will threaten a collapse of a decades-long advertising-based model that has driven the names of Google and Meta higher. And Google's already responded to this by launching AI mode in the search bars. I don't know if you noticed this, and their apps, and really going all in on AI and these LLMs. But this pushes online advertising down in the rankings. And so people are clicking on those advertisements less. But if you look at earnings overall, right now what's happening here is cloud computing is making up for a lot of what looks to be lost revenue from the likes of Alphabet. Alphabet posted a record $100 billion in quarterly revenue. But once again, it was more about growing demand for the cloud computing arms. The question is that their new business model? Is that going to be as consistent? Is that going to be as durable as pay-per-click advertising and all their other forms of advertising? I don't think so. Now, their business is a bit more diversified than, say, a Meta, where they're heavily reliant on Instagram and other their social media platforms. I think the bigger issue there is not only LLMs, but also younger generation, they're starting to sign off of social media in a broader trend that I'm seeing. And while revenues are up 26% year over year in the latest quarter for Meta, overall demand, I think, for their products and their advertising is starting to wane. So I worry a bit about that. And so he's calling this out, and I do think this is a sea change. And you have to think about this, and especially these large tech companies that heavily reliant on advertising, their business model is likely to change in the coming years. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another episode of InvestTalk. And if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your broader financial plan, your investment allocation, your retirement strategy, Social Security, Roth conversion, etc. All of these things are things that we help with when we put together a no-cost portfolio review for you, and you can schedule one of those by heading over to investtalk.com. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about a free podcast download, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, as well as our YouTube channel. Remember to review us on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.